Have a seat. The passage I'm going to read you from the ninth chapter of Isaiah is the one that may be quite familiar to many of you. What we don't always talk about when we read this passage, though, is what's going on in Isaiah at the time. Isaiah is bringing a message from God to the people of Judah, basically telling them, stop trusting in yourselves to get all this strife in the world figured out. Stop making bargains with kings that you shouldn't be making bargains with. Stop making alliances with people that you shouldn't be aligned with, and trust in God to be your Savior. Trust in God to be your Redeemer. Trust in God to be your warrior. Trust in God for everything. He tells the people what is going to happen to them if they do not trust, because God already knows that they're not going to. And then Isaiah brings this word of hope. But there will be no more gloom for her who was in anguish in earlier times. He treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt. But later on, he shall make it glorious by the way of the sea on the other side of Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. You shall multiply the nation. You shall increase their gladness. They will be glad in your presence, as with the gladness of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you shall break the yoke of their burden and the staff on their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, as at the battle of Midian. For every boot of the booted warrior in the battle tumult and cloak rolled in blood will be for burning, fuel for the fire. For a child will be born to us. A son will be given to us. And the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. May God bless this reading of his holy word. Imagine with me a minute. You are a shepherd, tending your flock on a hill just outside of Bethlehem. I'm going to stop there for a minute. How many of you have heard the story that none of this could have happened this way because there's no way that that shepherds would have been tending their flocks at this time of the year in the hills around Bethlehem? Have you ever heard that one before? People that want to get all over the whole Christmas story and shoot it down. Well, if you ever hear that story, you tell them that your pastor both times that he was in Israel, saw shepherds tending flocks in the hills outside of Bethlehem in the first week of January. So they do. It's actually one of the places they go at that time of year to tend flocks. They go up into the hills. So again, imagine with me a minute, you're a shepherd tending your flock on a hill just outside of Bethlehem, and you are pondering the words of Isaiah. You know that so many of Isaiah's prophecies have already come to pass. You know that the people have long ago returned out of captivity into the land of their fathers. But in your time, there is another kind of captivity. A foreign power now occupies your land. The Romans are there, and they're in charge. Yet there is still a promise of a throne filled by a king for all of eternity. There is a promise, the promise of a child whose name is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now, you know that the struggle of captivity has often come as a result of your leaders who thought they knew better than God did what was best. And you know that you, as a, quote, lowly shepherd, struggle through many of your own personal stuff, because you try to do it differently than God asks you to do it. You try and do it your own way, without the guidance, without the leading, without the power of Yahweh. And then you look and you see your sheep, and you think about how they depend on you for everything, for protection, for guidance, for leading them to safety, for taking them to green pastures. And you are reminded how God does this for His people. You also see that the sheep and the people wander away and need a Savior, lest they be attacked and eaten, the sheep by wolves and the people by others that act like wolves. And you are brought back to this promise of a Savior for humanity. And as you sit there in this field, you ask, how long must we wait? When will He come? Where will we find Him? And how will we know? Okay, come back to today. And we say we know the answers to the shepherd's questions. But do we? Yes, we know the questions were all answered in Jesus, but humanity still struggles to find Him and to follow Him, to surrender to Him. We struggle with our own kind of captivity, and for each one of us it may be different. Maybe it's captivity to the ways of the world. Maybe it's captivity to things. Maybe it's captivity to agendas or politics or whatever it is. You know what your stuff is. You see, we struggle with that and we discover that we still need a Savior. We look around like the shepherd and realize our captivity is not really all that different from his. We are held captive by the same struggles to be our own salvation, by the same struggles to create our own sense of peace, to be our own counselor, to be our own guide. In this passage, everybody has a favorite verse. If you've ever gotten to sing in the Messiah, you know, it's probably that, you know, the very beginning of that. You know, a child will be born to us. Or maybe it's singing, Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. But you know what I think the most important verse in this whole passage is? It's the last one I read. See, all the rest of it's about a promise. But the most important one is, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. See? We can't accomplish it on our own. The zeal of the Lord of hosts accomplishes it for us because he loves us. Because he wants us to be in relationship with him. That is the most important verse in all of this. The rest of it is just telling us what he's going to do. That's the easy part. I mean, that's easy for God. Not so easy for us. See, so we trust in that last verse. We trust in God to do these things. And then we surrender to him so he can accomplish that work within us. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. The whole message of this prophet is to trust God. Stop trusting yourselves and trust in God. Your plans will not bring prosperity or peace or justice. Trust in God, and he will provide these for you. And as we begin our Advent season, that is really what Christmas is all about. God says, trust me, and I will be found faithful. Trust me, and I will bring you a Savior. You don't need to find your own salvation. I already have a Son, and he's coming. And he's going to bring you salvation. Trust me. You don't have to be afraid of the darkness because I'm going to bring you out of the darkness and into the light. Trust me. You don't have to do anything to get a pat on the head. I will make you glorious because of who I am. Trust me. You don't have to do things to find joy and happiness. Trust me, and it will rest upon you through the power of the Holy Spirit. And you will receive that fruit. Trust me. You don't have to work to break off the yoke of bondage. I will take it off of you. I will break the staff of oppression. Trust me. Trust my zeal to accomplish all of this. Let me ask you to go back to our shepherd who is pondering the words of Isaiah. Do you suppose, as he trusted in the Lord, as he trusted in the zeal of the Lord of hosts to accomplish this, that an angel appeared to him saying, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord." May we hear those same words as we ponder over the coming weeks what it means to trust the zeal of the Lord of hosts to accomplish all that he has promised. Amen? Let's pray. Oh, Father, we come before you admitting that we strive and struggle to do things on our own, things that are not ours to do, things that we should be leaving in your hands. For you have already chosen to do them, and you know the best ways. During these coming weeks, Lord, we pray that our hope will increase, that our trust will grow, and that we will learn to surrender more fully to you. We ask for your help when we fail, for your grace when we stray, for your correction when we rebel. And for your hope that fills our hearts as you bring forth your desires in this world. And Lord, as your light shines in our darkness, help us to reflect that light so that others will see you and know you and grow to love you. All in Jesus' name. Amen.